They all call it the Red Vault. A nickname assigned to the high-end storage facility that I worked for. While the clients used our services to assure themselves that whatever they leave in our hands will be the safest it could ever be. Guarded by steel walls, the Earth itself, and high-tech security software, our facility has gained a reputation for its thorough protective services. Over the years of my employment there, I've met nearly every client, and I know them by name. At face value, the vault looks like any other inner-city office building. It isn't until you get through the crimson-red painted lobby and through security, where the integrity of our system really shows. I'm the first to greet you at the counter as you approach. Once identified, I lead you through a chain of tedious security protocols. Beyond the defenses is an elevator door. It can only be accessible by the swipe of a keycard. Once inside, it takes us underground to the vaults. Video surveillance covers every square inch of the following area without a single blind spot. After the descent, you arrive at a long passageway. On your left and on your right are the entry doors to each of our client storage rooms. This hallway stretches onward for quite a while. There are 10 rooms on each side, and at the end of the hall is one final vault. Vault number 21. Now, I've never met the client which room 21 belongs to. I'm currently the senior employee, so no one else has identified the client either. The owner is the only one who has met them. And I haven't seen him face to face since the day that I was hired. It was just before closing, and I was doing a round in the vault room, testing the locks, when a loud bang echoed in the end of the hall. Now, startled, I quickly spun around to find the source. The way the facility is designed, the noise doesn't travel far, so whatever it was had to be something serious. My first guess was that a light blew out, but that wouldn't have been obvious right off the bat. Another bang echoed from down the hall as I approached. The noise came from vault number 21. I radioed upstairs, and they confirmed that there was no breach in security or anything out of the ordinary. I was only a few feet away from vault number 21. And as I reached for the handle, I paused. My breath. I could see my breath. My hands turned pale from the cold air that numbed them. I reached out and I made an attempt to grab the handle to the door, but it was instantly deflected. The handle was hot, but the hallway felt like the inside of a freezer. I pressed my hand against the wall to ice it, then carefully moved it to the door. It was inexplicably warm. A faint sound echoed from behind the door, just loud enough for me to hear it. I got my ear as close as I could without coming in contact with the fiery metal. It sounded like something was being dragged around the room. Something heavy. Although still quiet, the dragging would come in and out of earshot, as if there was pacing. Suddenly, it stopped. Bang! I felt like the ground beneath me shook, the door rattled, and even the light overhead flickered. I fell on my ass and scurried backward along the ice-cold floors. For what felt like 10 minutes, I stared at the door. Not once had this ever happened in all of the years that I worked there. I was frightened, but in a way, I was intrigued. Another minute passed as I collected myself and swiftly made my way back to the elevator, every few seconds checking behind me. The elevator door slid open, and I was greeted by a coworker, Dave, with an annoyed yet concerned look on his face. "What the hell are you doing? It's been an hour and a half." I couldn't respond. Had I really been down here that long? It only felt like 15 minutes to do my round. I couldn't have taken no more than an extra 10 minutes. "Really?" I managed to mutter. "I was watching you on the surveillance camera. You were just staring at 21, not moving at all. What's going on?"
"Nothing.
I mean, something I'll have to look into tomorrow." Dave didn't bother to interrogate me. He simply wanted to go home. He eyed me up and down, then turned around and headed off the door towards the lobby. I followed, then locked the door behind me. That night, I couldn't sleep. I can't pinpoint if it was fear or my active imagination that kept me from getting some rest, but one thing was for certain. I needed to find out what was inside room 21. There was no stopping me. I had everything at my disposal to access the vault without anyone finding out, but I had to be cautious. Dave needed to be out of the building because I know for certain he'd not want any part of it. One screw up and I could be spending the rest of my life in prison. And I guess this would be part of where anyone watching from an outside perspective would be considered a new line of employment, but not I. See, I wanted to indulge, and I feel as if many of you would want to do the same. Some likely not, but those who crave the need to know will be following my every footstep. Go ahead. Call me crazy. After a few days of preparation and careful planning, I was ready to embark on my journey inside of Vault number 21. I rose from my bed that morning, feeling more rested than I ever had. Time seemed to move at half speed as I struggled to focus on my day-to-day operations. Nearing the end of the day, Dave asked me if he could leave early to take care of something. It's perfect timing. Since Dave and I are the last ones there, if I'm by myself, I'll usually be stuck there for an extra 2 hours, having to cover the entire lockdown process on my own. I acted annoyed, as if it was so inconvenient for him to be leaving early, but in the inside, I was rubbing my palms together menacingly. At the start, everything went better than expected. I had no problem disarming the electric locks and tying up the security system so I could bypass entry to the vault. As the elevator doors slid open, I felt a wave of doubt. Should I really be doing this? Is it worth the consequences just to know whatever may or may not be behind that door? Fuck it. I stepped into the hallway and slowly approached the door to vault number 21. The temperature didn't drop as I was expecting, which made the jacket that I had worn useless. I tapped the handle to assure that it wouldn't burn me this time. My heart was pounding heavily against my chest. The sweat from my anxious palms made it difficult to grip the handle as I had use excessive force to pull open the door without the assistance of the pressurized lock system, but soon enough I was successful. I wasn't sure what to expect, but the seemingly eternal black hole that greeted me from the other side of the door didn't seem too welcoming. Too late to turn back now. The familiar fragrance of freshly picked lilac invaded my nostrils. It struck me as odd, but things only escalated from there. I wasn't exaggerating when I called the vault a black hole. The flashlight of my cell phone seemed to be absorbed by the darkness of the room, only allowing me to see a few steps ahead. Hot to cold, the temperature consistently fluctuated up and down as I navigated through the abyss, consistently checking over my shoulder as the light spilling in from the hallway behind me became smaller and smaller. I was surprisingly calm in the silence of the vault. It truly felt endless. And soon had me convinced when I approached an object in front of me. My light had done me no justice as I almost walked into a wooden structure ahead. It stood about waist high, with long fabric draped down to the sides. I pulled the silky cloth aside, which revealed an opening that I could pass through if I bent down low enough at the waist. I placed my hand above the mysterious structure to find that it had a soft, cushioned top. Further examination brought me to a sudden realization of what this large object was. It was a giant bed. My heart sank. Without any time to question why this unusually large bed was even there, bang! I spun around to get on my heels and scanned the surrounding area. But the darkness was too overwhelming. The light from the door that I entered from had been completely absorbed by the blackness of the room. In that very second, heavy footsteps came into earshot. They arrived at such a high speed that I didn't even have a moment to react before I found myself directly in front of the source. A ginormous, pale woman was standing nearly a few feet away from me. My eyes met her waist, which was covered with a large white gown. The long, silver hairs that grew from her legs reflected the light from my cell phone as I slowly raised my head to find her staring down at me. Silver locks draped down over her face, allowing one solid black eye to peer at me. I wanted to run, but my feet felt weighted to the ground. We stared at each other for what seemed like a minute until she raised her long, skinny arms and parted her hair to reveal her face. Two giant cracked lips started to form into a shape of a smile, then began to part, revealing a row of glossy black teeth. Her mouth opened wider and saliva began to pour from the orifice and pooling at her bare feet below, followed by a thick gray tongue. Her tongue slithered out of her mouth like a serpent, further and further outward. It was covered in a large gangrenous sores that oozed a foul-smelling odor that nearly made me gag. The sides of the woman's face curled back as her mouth spread open to an impossible width and allowed her ever-growing tongue to fit through. Not only in length, but in girth, it was nearly 20 times the length of any human tongue. The woman tilted and whipped her head back with a violent force and thrusted it forward. Bang! Her tongue came crashing down against the ground with enough force to shake the earth below. The magnitude alone threw me to the ground, knocking the wind out of me. A loud, pitched ring stung my eardrums, and for a moment my vision became distorted. I tried my hardest to recover as adrenaline began to course through my veins. My sight returned as I watched the ground start to crack and split. Bang! Again, her massive tongue came crashing down onto the already open wound. Blinding light and a burning heat flooded the area around me as fire began to bellow out of the fissure that she created. She stepped to the side and readied herself once more. I don't know what came over me, but I managed to get myself to my feet and full sprint into a random direction. Sweat spilled out of every pore of my body as the temperature from the room rapidly rose. I blindly ran into the darkness beyond. Another quake shook the ground and forced me to stumble with all of my gained momentum, causing me to be thrown forward and off my feet. I tried to brace myself for the impact and crashed hard into the floor. Agonizing pain shot through my entire body as I skid across the ground to a stop. I got onto my hands and knees to realize that the ground was freezing cold. It wasn't until I stood up that I noticed I could now see my breath. The room was black again, and the heat that had been burning me alive had dropped into a near freezing cold. An unidentifiable cry echoed from behind me. I continued to sprint, praying that I had been running towards the exit. With some stroke of luck, I saw the light of the hallway just ahead of me. The noise was gaining on me at a rapid pace, and I struggled to run faster, hoping that I'd reach the door before it was too late. The cry grew louder and louder and became so much more distant. It sounded so familiar. I was nearly there, and the cry rung once again just behind me, just over my shoulder. I burst through the threshold of the door, spun around, and threw nearly all of my weight against it and slammed it shut. Falling back onto the door, I slid to the ground, and I shut my eyes. The image was burned into the back of my eyelids. The last thing I saw before sealing the vault, the woman had been just behind me. But she was holding something. She was holding what looked like a newborn baby. I don't know how long I sat there. The entire time I managed to gather the strength to get myself off the ground, making my way up to the elevator and back to the security room. I re-engaged the system. I started the closing procedure. Passing through the lobby, I stared at my feet as I dragged them toward the front door. Long night? I nearly jumped out of my skin. I looked up to meet the face of a young man, maybe mid-20s, greeting me with a smile. It took a second to register, but I recognized him. He was swinging a ring of keys around his finger, but then it struck me. He was the owner, Mike something. I couldn't remember. He hired me nearly a decade ago, and he looked as if he hadn't aged a day. Yeah, I stuttered. Mike walked past me towards the door leading to the vault. Hey, Kyle. I was almost out the front door as he called my name. I turned at the waist to face him. Mike's eyes were solid black, his skin started to turn as crimson red as he stared me down.
Stay the fuck out of my vault.
My heart sank. My hands instantly became clammy and a chill ran down my back. Sorry. I managed to choke out. Have a good night, guy.
Take it easy on the truth serum. No more of the... We're live. And there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta.
And I like midget porn.
Ooh. Mm-mm. Hi there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta.
And I'm a Russian spy. Do svidaniya.
Ooh. Hi there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And I just pooped myself.
Everybody has like, whoa, just? Hey there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And sometimes, when nobody's looking, I go to the dog park and I sniff the dog's butts.
Hi there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And I'm a cam model. Ties ribbons to his penis and dances to Taylor Swift.
This is getting sad. You're not even just saying that, you're just coming to self-realizations and just like not wanting to be here. Hey there, kids. I'm Mr. Creepypasta.
And my mother once told me I was adopted.
Hi there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta.
And I'm Vincent Vinicava.
And today we're here to talk to you about the Creepypasta comic book. You guys probably heard us talk about it before when it first went to Kickstarter. Well, now it's available for everybody and not just the backer.
April 7th on Amazon. Follow the link. Supplies are limited.
Very limited, in fact. But you don't want to miss out on this. And it's also going to be the start of the Spooktacular this year. So you'll be able to find out what actually happened to him, whose body was stolen by Bizarro, and me, who's still stuck in the deep web.
Ooh, yeah! I don't know. I just thought it was like... I just thought I'd do that. Like it was like a catchphrase.
Ooh, yeah!
Snap into a Slim Jim!
Dig it!
Ah, welcome. I take it you've come for a story. Of course you did. Why else would you have tracked down my website? After all, it takes a very special browser to even locate this dark little corner of the internet. But you already knew that. So, if it's a story you want, it's a story you shall receive. And it would please me very much to read one to you this evening. All of you. Shall we begin? I've got the perfect one in mind. It's a tale about those who've been wronged and the depths they'll sink to in the name of revenge. The Creepypasta comic is available on Amazon, April 7th.